Residents have called the police during the summer months to report screaming in the park. The police apparently get used to these calls and realize that when they go down, there's nothing there.
Is that right? What do you think? I'm not sure. I don't know.
This phenomena is widespread, a lot more widespread than most people would tend to think. All these phenomena are mysteries. No one knows why. That's why I think people are drawn to it, because they don't know what it is. Everybody wants to read about ghosts.
This is a conversation with folklorist and storyteller Mike Ball. Mike's website, The Ghosts of North Portland, contains a vast collection of stories and information and images about what might be called unusual goings-on, but we'll leave that up to the listener to draw any conclusions.
I have personally seen what you might call a ghost. I've had that experience. Funny thing, on my site, at one of the hauntings, I've experienced it, and I don't have that documented on the site, that I personally saw a ghost there, or ghosts. And it wasn't until Leslie Rule came out with her book, Ann Rule's daughter. Leslie Rule writes paranormal books, and she interviewed me, and I said, yeah, I've seen it. It was the carousel up at Janssen Beach when it was at the other location at the old Janssen. I saw the two children, and it made no sense to me at all at that time. I thought they were real people. And then later on, I got the reports from others that they had seen the same thing, and they viewed it as a haunting. I suddenly realized that I had indeed seen what they were emailing me about. The fact is, I don't particularly want to admit to it. What's the reaction of other people? Oh, you've seen ghosts? What I saw at the carousel at the old location were two children playing in the center of the carousel. They were not dressed properly for our society. They didn't look right. They looked like maybe German, 1920s. The boy had on knickers that went to his knees, long socks. The girl was dressed in she had a long dress on. They were oblivious to everybody else. They were interacting with each other. They'd suddenly get up and jump all around and then stop and look away as if they're looking for someone or something, and then start playing again. And my reaction was, those children are unruly. Someone should take care of them and control them, because they're almost running rampant in the center of the carousel. It went on for maybe 5 minutes, and we finally left. Never thought anything about it. I thought they were real children. But it's a very dangerous area down there. You don't let kids run around in the center with all the gears and the machinery going on. I've also had letters. I had a letter from the person that runs the carousel, a woman, who was rather agitated. She said, I've been working this machine for 7 years. I've never had an experience like that. I've never seen anything. No one's ever reported anything to me. Well, there you go. But maybe it's her. Maybe it's her perceptions. Maybe it's her. Maybe she has low intuition. Maybe she doesn't have psychic abilities. Maybe other people have vivid imaginations. It's really hard to say. I started the website in 1999, 94. It was a lot smaller than two or three different phenomena in North Portland, and it slowly grew from that. Most of it by email, people sending me missives saying that they had a haunt also, kept adding to it. Surprisingly, most of them still do not want their names or addresses posted. They want their privacy. I think a lot of this stems from the history of our medical field. In the 40s, 50s, 60s, your family could have you committed. You don't want to run around saying that you have seen ghosts or strange phenomena. Something's wrong with you. It must be psychological. So there is a problem with that. People want to remain anonymous. I'll get a tip that there's phenomena going on in a restaurant, a public place. Go in, talk to the owner. No publicity at all. I don't want this posted. I don't want anyone to know about it. They view it as strange, bizarre, something that could affect their income and their sales. The website started with the Portsmouth House because I had lived there and I was able to easily document everything that went on in a chronology of all the events that occurred. It was an unusual house. We moved in 1988 and almost immediately there were problems going on. My youngest daughter, she was I think around 7 years old at the time. I was home with her one day. It was a weekend. It was warm weather. The doors were open, just screen doors. And I was outside, and she kept yelling, "Where is that shoe? Where is that shoe?" Then she ran out, almost angry, scared, angry. She was standing at the bottom of the stairwell, which made a 90-degree turn in the stairwell, so you couldn't see the top. But she was standing there looking for the shoe. The shoe came bouncing down the stairs and landed at the bottom at her feet. No one upstairs. Well, of course, there's always an explanation. Maybe it was just hanging on the top stair up there and suddenly just fell. Most of the things you can write off. Say they never happened. Coincidences. Wild imagination. You could stand at the bottom of those stairs and hear whispering upstairs. And until you started up the stairs, you could hear it. Once you went up, nothing. And again, maybe there's an explanation. Things just kept adding up in that house. I remember being in the kitchen and having water fall on my arm with no source. And I wasn't the only one. There were others that were there. It would literally rain on your body. Not heavy, but just droplets of water. Think, well, I mean, there must be a plumbing leak. No, there's no plumbing leak. There's no water above. There's no water anywhere. And yet water could materialize on your arm. Amazing.
Could you hear what was being whispered?
Very small sentences were whispered. The sounds that came from upstairs, very short sentences, questioning sentences, an interaction between two people. Is that right? I'm not sure. Did you say it? We could hardly make out the words. You couldn't understand if it was male or female. You could hear it. And then as soon as you started up the stairs, boom, no sound could be heard. Things like that went on for years in that place. It slowly faded away. I remember some things that were not mentioned on the website. I was leaving that house in a divorce. I was staying in the basement for a while by myself. The basement was unfinished. I had a bed set up in the corner. You had to get up out of the bed and walk completely across the basement to turn on a light at the stairwell. So I had a flashlight by my bed. One night I woke up, the flashlight was on. It's a simple flick, flick, on, off flashlight. The flashlight's on. Things like that kept adding up. Where there, you know, there was strange phenomena going on. That was the first addition, I think, to the website. And then there were others that slowly came on board. And like I said, a lot of emails, a lot of people from all over Portland, from the Northwest. Hundreds of emails of people saying that they had phenomena going on. Would I like to cover something in Southeast Portland? Would I like to hear about this haunting in Northwest? And I'd write back, no, I'm trying to just be specific to North Portland. The whole idea is to show that this phenomena is widespread, a lot more widespread than most people would tend to think.
Is that right? What do you think? I'm not sure. I don't know.
I learned about Thelma Taylor from a teacher at Roosevelt High School. I had already developed a site. It had been up and running for maybe 5 years. Some of my daughters had friends attending Roosevelt. They invited one of the teachers to my house to talk about some urban legends, folklore involving North Portland. One of the stories that she told me about was Thelma Taylor. It comes from the folklore of North Portland, Roosevelt high school kids. Thelma Taylor was killed in 1949. She was ready to enter high school. She was abducted from North Fessenden by one person, a white male. She was taken under the St. John's Bridge and held for approximately 3 days. Some of the folklore says longer. Some people say a week. Some say 3 days. I think the newspaper articles that have been retrieved put it at 3 days. And the story goes that you can still hear screams emanating from Cathedral Park, even to this day. I included that in the website because one of my daughters had a boyfriend. His parents live right there by the park. And they can testify to the fact that they've heard the screams too. Since it's been on the website, I've had people go to the park, recording digitally, and hearing voices, surprisingly, male voices, not always female at that site. People can go to Cathedral Park. It's pretty much an open park. Go down at any time during the day or night, possibly hear the screams, take a recorder. Residents have called the police during the summer months to report screaming in the park. The police apparently get used to these calls and realize that when they go down, there's nothing there in the park. I had a group, paranormal group in Portland, that formed and started doing scientific investigations on haunted phenomena. One of the first projects that they picked was my website and the screams under the St. John's Bridge with Thelma Taylor, trying to disprove it. The more they dug into it, the more evidence they found to substantiate all the claims. The only thing that they couldn't verify was reports to the police. Apparently, there's not a lot of documentation that goes on with that. If you call the police with screams and they come down, there's nothing there. I'm not sure just how it becomes documented, but they couldn't really confirm that. But I thought it was kind of interesting that they'd try to show that I made it up, when in actuality, it is well-founded folklore from the neighborhood. my website, any paranormal website, I think should be viewed as folklore. It's a subjective experience. Everyone has their own views, ideas, beliefs as to what these phenomena are. What is the Loch Ness Monster? What is Bigfoot? I'm sure you could tell me. You have your own idea. The fact is, all these phenomena are mysteries. No one knows why. No one knows the source. We can't tell.
Mike Ball with a tale from the website The Ghosts of North Portland.
There's one other site that you could go to where things might happen. And that would be at the corner of Killingsworth and Commercial by the North Portland Library. And across the street, what used to be the Chapel of the Chimes, I believe is now McMinniman's. They changed it. That Chapel of the Chimes had a crematorium. It had a crematorium built into it. Now, I was down there. I've been down there before and seen the billowing smoke coming out of that, the stack on top, where they probably didn't have it turned up high enough. And human remains just blowing out of that stack. Now, what I'm getting at is that might add to some sort of phenomena going down. But if you park on Commercial, just off of the North Portland Library, you can hear footsteps run right up to your car. It's happened time and time again with people. And I've cautioned people not to go down there in the middle of the night. It's not the best area. And then I have people email me, say, how dare you accuse our little neighborhood of being bad? And people can come down here day or night. It's a nice area to live in. And I guess it's improved over the years. But take your chances and go down, possibly hear the footsteps run right up to your car. I was on the radio once downtown, and I didn't have a lot of experience with interviews. The show host said, it was a call-in show. The show host asked me as the expert in the field what I thought of seeing a ghost directly with the eyes rather than inside of the... It took me by surprise that he thought of me as an expert. I didn't know quite how to take that. I started giving out my own views on it, but suddenly it felt more like a trap. Like suddenly I was trying to define what a ghost is, what a haunting involves, and what, am I going to make other people believe that? It's a mystery. It's all a mystery. That's why I think people are drawn to it, because they don't know what it is. Everybody thinks they do, but they really don't know the truth of it. I don't think it would be quite as interesting if we knew what it was. In that interview, I fell into a little trap, allowing myself to become the expert in a field where an expert could be anyone defining the phenomenon with their own beliefs. And I think I went in way over my head. I want people to look at the website as folklore. I have people that come to me with stories, and then I present them at the website. Pictures, a few paragraphs of detail about it. A lot of people like to get scared. That's why they come to this site. It's a little bit. It can be a little bit scary. The hits on the site always rise real high around Halloween. Everybody wants to read about ghosts. There were women of ill repute at the White Eagle Tavern. The white women would be upstairs, and the women of color would be in the basement. By the family themselves that still are still alive, that used to own that property, say that that's not true. So again, we're just coming back to folklore. These tales about them. I have no doubt in my mind that the White Eagle is haunted. I've been there on a few occasions. We had seances there. Jeff Davis, who has a very popular website, Ghosts and Critters of the Pacific Northwest, he had a get-together where we rented out pretty much all the rooms upstairs. And he had everything from people with Ouija boards to three psychics, non-believers, complete non-believers. He drew them all together. We caught quite a few orbs on cameras. He was showing a videotape, or trying to show a videotape, that ran on the History Channel, Haunted America, where he hosted it for that segment that involved the White Eagle. And his VCR kicked out, had a hard time playing. A lot of electrical problems in room number two where we set it up. A number of people brought digital cameras with batteries that would fail right away. The batteries would drain right out, especially over by the stairwell leading upstairs. When we did get pictures, covered with orbs everywhere in the pictures. Smell of perfume right at the top landing by the stairs that people could smell. A lot of phenomena that goes on up there.
Can you explain what an orb is, Mike?
Orb is usually caught on digital photography. It's a circle. People will say, well, it's dust in the air. That's one explanation for it. But then, you know, I've taken thousands of digital pictures myself, and very, very few show any orbs at all. When I see a circle like that, I'm usually thinking some sort of orb. But again, a mystery, unexplained. We don't really know what an orb is. People say, oh, it's an angel. It's a ghost. Some sort of entity from another dimension. You can't really define it. The smell of a ghost, seeing a ghost, having touch from a ghost, well, most of the senses are involved. I've had that happen in my own home that I live in now, where I've walked into a room and smell perfume that does not belong to anyone living there. That happened with my wife. I was leaving the bathroom upstairs. She said, Mike, come in here. I walked into the bedroom, not exactly knowing why she wanted me in there. As soon as I entered the door, the hair stood up on my arms. I sensed something was there, and you could smell it. She said, you smell that? I said, yeah. It was like I would call an old lady's perfume, like a lavender perfume that younger women don't use. That's occurred a few times. But in most cases, you could go to the White Eagle right now. You could go to any of these sites and and nothing would happen. People shouldn't think that because it's classified as a haunt that there's any guarantee of having anything occur visually, sensually, any of the senses, any sightings at all. Some go dormant, I suppose. Some are very, very active, but then you might go there and they're just not active at that time. The Queen Anne is located on North McClellan and Interstate behind the DMV. It's a business now. During the Christmas months, they have a million lights in the trees. That's rather popular in North Portland. It's also, I believe it's a bed and breakfast for newlyweds. They can be married there and have a big wedding ceremony. That place is very haunted. The folklore with it goes that it was originally called Pete's Castle. That's the folklore behind it. That this individual owned the house and married an Indian princess and kept her upstairs in bondage. One day he was out on scaffolding outside of the house and fell, and he died. Nobody knew the Indian princess was locked in there, and she died from starvation upstairs. Now, that's the folklore behind it. I've had people write in telling me that indeed it is haunted. There have been workers there that have had phenomena happen. Simple things like vacuuming the floor. The plug, it unplugs from the wall. The electrical cord unplugs from the wall. Not because they reach the end, it just unplugs on its own. A thousand little things that just scare people to death. Whether or not there was any imprints, I've had emails saying, yes, up in the attic, there are remnants of someone's life, articles of clothing that look like they could belong to an Indian princess. I don't know how that ties into the legend. There are some, in my investigations, it appears that some sites might have phenomena occurring because of the people that live there. The Mohawk sightings, the one part of my website that involves the Mohawk house, there was a father and son that lived there. A lot of activity going on. I posted that. One male individual wrote in saying that he lived there for over 15 years and nothing ever happened. So it looks very blank from before they moved in, and apparently after they moved out, very little has happened. Now, then again, see, it's just my guess. I'm thinking that the phenomenon was coming from individuals rather than from the atmosphere itself. I wanted to cover a little bit about the Interstate Bridge, too. In the 1920s, the mayor of Vancouver, Washington, for reasons that I'm not aware of, decided to end his life. He walked towards Portland on the Interstate Bridge until he was over Hayden Island, still on the bridge. He hung himself. His body was found weeks later on Hayden Island. Now, maybe the rope came loose, I'm not sure. But there have been many reports of a man in a dark overcoat with a felt hat seen walking on that bridge, a ghostly apparition. Many claim it's the old mayor of Vancouver. It's approximately where he hung himself. It's where they see that apparition.
A tale from the website Ghosts of North Portland. That was Mike Ball.